Hello, this is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Thank you for listening to my podcast. I had to take a 2-month break, but I'm back with Season 4, Episode 1. Today, I'm going to talk about the ring of school shootings that has been plaguing our country, and I'm going to talk about an experience when I was a young man in my senior year in high school in New York City, and someone brought a gun into our school. It would be interesting to get the context of what has happened, and maybe we can come to a conclusion for a change. Now, before I get started in my podcast, I want to talk about the places where you can follow me. My Instagram is BlackKage840. My Instagram is BlackKage840. That is BlackKage840. I will also put out other various links in my and below the podcast, so you can click on them and you can follow me. Alright, so let me tell you the story. I was at the second floor on the side of the building. Let me tell you about Martin Luther King High School, right? Martin Luther King High School was a very troubled high school in Lincoln Center. We was across the street from LaGuardia High School and down the block from Juilliard, the two best art schools in New York City. We was a very troubled school because 25% of the people in our school was gang affiliated. So you either had to join a gang and be friends with gang members as a survival technique, right? So, I was at the second floor on the side of the building outside of my Spanish class, and lo and behold, guess what? There were shots fired. No one knew what happened. And after the shots was fired, what I did is I ran to my after-school program office, Miss Fabiano. It's North Cafeteria. And I stayed there for a while. And there's two cafeterias. There was North Cafeteria and South Cafeteria. And we all stayed in the North Cafeteria and South Cafeteria until we was all evacuated. That once we was evacuated, as I was evacuating, I was walking through the lobby and you had members of the NYPD on one side and on the other side of the hallway. And, you know, I have family members who are police officers, so I've seen guns before, but I have never seen the type of weaponry, before. I've seen 38 snub noses, I saw a 12 gauge shotgun, I saw a 45, I saw 50 calibers, I saw all types of guns I've never seen before. And as we was going outside in front of the building, they had Doberman pitchers, Greyhounds, and German Shepherds sniffing our bags to see if we have gunpowder on our bags. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read an article from the New York Times that was written in January 16, 2020, 2002. Yeah, so this happened 20 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. This is 20 years ago. Even after 20 years, guns are still a problem and school shootings are still a problem in our country. So I'm going to read this article. Right. This article is by Daniel J. Watkin. It was written in January 16, 2002, and it's from the New York Times, and it says, "Gunfire wounds second students inside a Manhattan high school." Two students were shot yesterday afternoon at a troubled high school a block from Lincoln Center, and what the authorities said may have been a dispute over a girl. Students were ordered to stay in their classrooms while police officers in riot gear scoured the halls for gunmen and parents gathered outside. No gunman was found, and the students were allowed to leave the school, Martin Luther King Jr. High School, about an hour after the 2 p.m. shooting. The police said that they found a 38 caliber handgun in the fifth floor hallway, a floor above where the shooting occurred. It was not clear how the weapon bypassed the school metal detectors, although some students attached that it would not have been difficult. The school shooting was first in nearly 8 years inside a New York City school. A reminder that big city schools are not immune to the same spasms of violence seen as some suburban schools in recent years. But did this not happen appear to be a case of students shooting randomly at classmates. The authorities said at least one victim may have been the target. School Chancellor Harold R. Levy, who went to the school media after some reports of the shooting, said at the first the shooting appeared to be gang-related, but then he said last night that the authorities now believe it was a result of a disagreement over a girl. The police and hospital officials identified the wounding students as Andre Wilkin, 16, who was shot in the hip, and Andrea Napper, 17, who was shot in the lower back. Shortly after the shooting, the police stopped a someone student, Javon Espinoza, 18, several blocks from the school and arrested him on an unrelated warrant. But the police said the last night that he had not been charged in the shooting. Andre Wilkin's father, Wilder Parks, said his son, who lives with him in the East New York section of Brooklyn, was a quiet young man who had nothing to do with gangs. He said that Andre told him that he and the boy had shot him and argued during the winter break, and the boy had threatened to shoot him. Mr. Parks added that he could not understand how his son's attackers had sneaked a gun into the school. The schools had stepped up security, including widespread use of the metal detectors after a fatal shooting at Thomas Jefferson High School in Brooklyn in 1993. A student was wounded by gunfire inside Sheepshead Bay High School a year later. "I don't know what to think," Mr. Park said in St. Vincent's Manhattan's hospital, where the two victims were brought in serious but stable condition. "I'm going to deal with the school later. Right now, I'm going to be with my family." Mr. Park said of his son, "Thank God he's still alive and he still has his whole life ahead of him and he's not crippled." The authorities said that we're starting to piece together what happened. A witness, Charles Huston, 22, said two people were arguing inside the school while he was waiting to pick up his sister, a student. One pulled out a gun and shot the other, and then he just turned to look at everyone. Mr. Huston said the guy's laying there in a pool of blood. Students began fleeing, but one day he said, "Why did you shoot him?" Then the guy shot him too. Mr. Huston said the second victim staggered towards the door, and Mr. Huston said he ran. More than 100 police officers responded to the call. Teachers told the students to stay in their classrooms where they read, chatted, or studied for exams. One student, Chloe Furley, 17, from the letter grader, after about an hour, he said his class was told to file out. As students were left the building on Amsterdam Avenue between West 65th and West 66th Street, some hugged James Randall, a retired paramedic, walked back and forth looking for his daughter. Tajisha Robinson said he rushed over from his apartment nearby when he heard the news on television. "I ran over and heard two kids were shot on the fourth floor. My daughter has classes on the fourth floor." After 20 minutes later, he saw her and the two embraced. "The kids," she told her father, a tear streaked staining her cheek. The safety rector of the school immediately came under scrutiny. "It's been a school where all year long has been problems with security," said Randy Wintergarten, the president of United Federation of Teachers. She had also rushed to the school as recently as last night. A teacher reported to be threatened by a student for a third time this year, she said. She said that although the school had metal detectors, it had many unattended and unlocked doors that students could sneak in weapons. She said the union had asked for a Metromatter door locks that could open from inside security, but would bar entering from inside. Some bureaucratic issues stopped this from happening, she said. Schools being redesigned by the Board of Education, she said, in an effort to improve academic performance. Overwhelmingly, most of our schools are safe, Mr. Wintergarten said, adding that 60% of violent school incidents happen in 11 schools. A social worker based on the high school, Gail Greenstein, said fights were common. She said that the shooting may not appear to have sunken in for the students. Most of them who come from outside the area, many from violent neighborhoods. Nevertheless, she said, it's devastating for the kids because most of the kids are good kids. This is the kind of thing to make them afraid to go to school. Mr. Lively acknowledged that the schools has problems. Security is an issue in his school, he said. I'm aware of it and I'm actively following it. And while this incident did not appear to be gang-related, a parent active in the Parent Teachers Association, Rosemarie Ganpot, said that the principal, Ronald Wells, had informed parents about gang activity at the school at the meeting on December 20th. He showed us that the beads that they wear, she said, describing necklaces with colored beads. The principal said the gangs were being investigated, but the situation was under control, Ms. Ganpot said. Ozma Alenio. Ozzy, old friend of mine. Ozma Alenio, a 12th grader, said the gangs were rifle at school. You have to make friends with gang members you don't join, he said. It's a survival technique. School has 2,600 students in grade 9 to 12. 70% were eligible for a free lunch in 2000, while above the citywide average, 40% of schools for high school. While the student body's academic performance is well below par, its suspension rate in 2000 was high. 79 students out of every 1,000 compare an average 48 to 1,000 to Simmons schools. Mr. Levy said additional security officers and counselors will be sent to school today. Several students said they were most upset that the shooting had happened on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday at a school named for the civil rights leader. They picked the perfect day to do this, Karen Oakland said bitterly. Martin Luther King taught about peace. This isn't about peace. Yeah, that did happen on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. I'm not even going to acknowledge that douchebag that brought the gun to school. Listen, Martin Luther King High School, when I was going there, like I said earlier, was 25% gang affiliated. But even though there was a lot of dudes who were gang affiliated, no one, and I mean none of those gang members, wouldn't even think about bringing a gun to school. Yeah, this was not a gang-related incident at all. It was some douchebag that wanted to shoot up a guy because of a disagreement over a woman. Yeah, so guns, students bringing guns to schools and shooting the schools up has always been a problem. You know, and even if you have metal detectors, even that you have police officers, they still figure out a way to bring the gun to school. And like the article said earlier, even though they had metal detectors, the teachers and the students knew that if a kid really wanted to bring a gun to school, they could sneak it through the metal detectors. Yeah, so what I'm gonna do I'm gonna end this podcast right here because I wanted to tell my story on how some silly individual brought a gun into my school into my high school to let you know that school shootings has been a problem, not only in the ghetto, also in suburban areas. So thank you. This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and I'm signing off.